Imagine rain in October. Isn't that something? Hey, praise the Lord. Romans chapter 8 tonight. Let's stand as we read God's word together. As many of you know, we are in the middle of what we call the First Step Discipleship Series. And the first lesson was 2 weeks ago. I apologize. Last week I had absolutely no voice and I was sick. And really, I haven't been down that long. I was only down a day, but you know, it seemed like I'd just been struggling with that. And so I'm doing great now. And I say that, you know, I better be careful. And but Romans chapter 8 tonight. Romans chapter 8. We'll be looking at verses 34 to 39 in your insert. If you want to, you have that marked in there for you. So we'll be looking at that together tonight. I do want to remind you that this idea of this discipleship series I'm teaching you is one that you will in turn teach someone else. And so I hope you're praying about what God might have you to do and what part you can have in this. So as you learn this, then you can go and maybe share this with someone else. And I'll explain how all that'll work when we get toward the end of this series. So just stay with me. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 34 through verse 39. It's a little different. A little different format, a little different style than what you're used to on Wednesday night. Besides me just taking a book and preaching through it, what I'm going to do is I'm going to handle this like I'm teaching someone who is one of my disciples, all right? And you'll be my disciple, every one of you. Romans 8 and verse 34. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Thank you, and you may be seated. The verse we need to memorize this week will be found in First Peter chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. Can we read that together? It should be in your notes there, and so if you'll take out your sheet and look inside, it says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So if we could read that together again, can we read it out loud together? Ready? 1 Peter 1, verses 4 and 5. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. You see, when a person receives Jesus Christ as Savior, we realize that the devil begins to try to confuse him. I mean, you don't have to be saved very long to realize that. I know when I first got saved, the devil began to work on me right away. They will be plagued with doubts. That's very normal. Doubts come. You know, you get saved, and sometimes it happens almost instantaneous. It might happen within 24 hours. It could happen within 12 hours. But it's very normal for us to struggle with doubts. The devil will try to get us to think we must keep doing something in order to be saved. In other words, it's not just the fact that we receive Christ, but we have to keep doing something. We have to keep believing or keep doing this or keep doing that. And so what we do is we struggle with that, and the devil seems to just work that in our minds and try to get us to say, you know, if you really meant it, then you're going to feel saved, or you're going to have this, or you're going to have that, and you, because you don't feel that way, you're not saved, or whatever the case is. That's how the devil works. But the Bible teaches us that salvation is forever. It's forever. And I'm glad to tell you tonight, it is. And it's called once saved, always saved, or as it's been called, eternal security. That means that you and I, we are kept by the power of God. God holds us in His hand. We are kept by Him. If a person believes they must keep doing something then, what's going to happen is they are going to have fear that they might lose their salvation or have guilt every time they do something wrong. Now, you're going to have guilt when you do something wrong, regardless of whether you believe it or not, because the Holy Spirit's going to speak to you. But we'll talk about that another time, the difference between how we handle that and as opposed to how we handle our salvation. You'll see how that works a little bit later. Doubts are common. The key is understanding where those doubts come from. There are sources of where our doubts. They may come from our feelings. For example, tonight, you may not feel like a Christian. That would place maybe a doubt in your mind. Sometimes we have doubts that come from maybe the things that we read, maybe the media, newspapers, other things. The devil will use those kind of things to put doubts in our mind. We may go like to Marine World, and we'll hear something like, you know, 63 billion years ago when dinosaurs roamed the earth, and that may put doubts in our mind. We may start doubting when we hear that the Bible says that man can, that God created a world between 7 and 10,000 years ago, not this 63 billion years ago. So we may struggle with doubts because of media, you know, the confusion of that. And if you're a new Christian, not being familiar with some of the basic Bible teachings, that's very normal. That can happen. Also, your mind can play tricks on you. All of us know that we have a mind that can do kind of unusual things. For example, our mind can cause us to have doubt. I don't know. Is this not working, guys? All right, let's try that. See if we got it working now. There we go. So sometimes our mind can do things like it can create, you know, strange things. You can go like, for example, to... well, let's see. Let's just take Disneyland. You go to Disneyland, you can go in a 360 room. They can put a video on there, and you can, in your mind, think you're actually moving when you're not. Your mind can do tricks. It can create things that aren't so. It can put doubts there that ought not to be there. So we have these areas that we have to realize when doubts come, we must recognize where they're coming from and why they're there. That's very, very important for a Christian. I had to learn that. All of us need to understand that. But now that we're saved, we put our trust completely not in our feelings, not in ourselves. We put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That's where we put our faith in. That's what we trust. That's what we know. And when we recognize that and realize that, we have what we call the assurance of our salvation. All of us have that. In other words, we are sure that what God says about our salvation is true, and we can trust Him. Let me ask you tonight, can you trust Him? Absolutely. Our security then is not based on what we believe or what we do. It is based on God and His Word. That's how we know we are saved. So when these doubts come, when these thoughts of you know, well, maybe I got to do something, we struggle with, we need to realize that we're putting too much emphasis on what we feel or where we're going or what we're thinking rather than what God says. So I want to help you with that. I want you to look at that. All right, here's some things that are important. Romans chapter 8, we just read those. Let's go back and look at that list. God gave us a powerful list on what we have that is secure, that cannot separate me, my relationship, from Jesus Christ. It is powerful. God says that this is based on His promises. There is nothing that can separate me from Christ. Nothing. And notice what He says. He gives us a list. And I wrote the list down in your notes there, but there are more, but I wrote them down. It says death or life. You realize that when we die, we're not separated from God. We go to God. Isn't that a blessing? I mean, what's the worst thing that happened? We die, we go into heaven. Wouldn't that be awful? Remember reading about John R. Rice one time when he walked down the street and these two guys came up with a gun to rob him on the streets of Dallas. And the guy says, if you don't give me all your money, I'm going to shoot you and kill you. He said, young men, don't threaten me with heaven. And he started witnessing to them. Scared them off. You know, it's amazing. So if you ever have anyone come up to you and they try to, you know, attack you. Sorry, I'm taking a diversion here. If they ever try to attack you, just start witnessing to them. You'll run them off. You won't need any guns. That'll scare them enough. But death or life? The Bible goes on to say angels or principalities or powers or things, things present, things to come, height or depth, no creature. In other words, there's nothing that can separate me from Christ. I'm glad of that. That means there's no person, there's no circumstance, there's no situation I will ever face in life that removes me from my relationship with Jesus Christ. Even if they kill me, that just sends me closer to God. So that's based on God's promises. Nothing can keep us from God. John 6:37. The Bible says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. So if a man comes and wants to get saved and he comes to God, God says, I'm not going to cast out anyone. I want to receive everyone if they come to me by simple faith. So that is based on God's promises. Now, Bill, did you come to God? Yeah, when did you do that? Now, when you came to God, was it not the fact that when you came to Him, didn't He take you just as you are? You know, like in our church, we always have, just as I am. I like that song, Just As I Am. How about you? It's a great song. And the reason why is because God takes us just as we are. He takes you right where you are. And when you come to Him, the Bible says He will in no wise cast you out. That's based on God's promises. But then something else we have to keep in mind is in John chapter 10. In John chapter 10, the Bible says that nothing can take us from God. There is nothing. I love John 10. Look at what it says. And I give unto them eternal life. Now notice here, eternal life. And they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Now, what kind of life did God tell us here that He gave to us? What kind of life is it there? What is it? Eternal life. Now, eternal life is how long? Is it 5 years? 10 years? 20 years? It's forever. There's no end to eternal life. God gave me eternal life that's forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. I mean, when time is no more, I still am saved. When my life is over, I'm still saved. When the world ends, I'm still saved. When everybody dies, I'm still saved. I'm given eternal life. That's based on God's promises. And since there's nothing that I did to save myself, there's nothing I can do to keep myself saved. God did not save us until we do something that He would take us away. You know, it's kind of like God doesn't say, okay, well, you know, you're not a really good Christian. You're not a really good child of God. You're not a really good person. So, you know, I don't know if I want to own you anymore. It doesn't work like that. Aren't you glad of that? Amen? God says that we are His forever and ever and ever, and there's nothing that any man can do to take us out of God's hand either. You can't jump out, can't be taken out. You just have the protection of God in your life. That's what we call eternal security. Praise God for that. And that's why the Bible says we are kept by the power of God. So number one is, when we learn this, as we're dealing with doubts, we can just tell the devil, you go take your doubts somewhere else. We need to concentrate on the promises of God's word. But then notice something else. It's based on the nature of salvation. We talk about having doubts. Well, it's based on the nature of salvation. Now, here's the thing about salvation. Keep this in mind. Salvation, number one, write this down. It is a relationship. It is a relationship. When my wife and I, when we got married, we had a relationship. We began a relationship. Just the moment we received Jesus Christ, we begin a relationship with God as His child. We are brought into His family as a child. A child may be disobedient to his or her parents, but they're still their child. God does not kick us out of His family when we disobey or fail to obey. He will convict us. He'll try to bring us back. He'll try to get us right. But He's not kicking us out, because we are in a relationship with the God of heaven. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." I like what 1 John 5:12 says. "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." It's pretty clear, isn't it? We have a relationship. Some think that they have to do something to keep it. Just as your parents had you as a child, you didn't do anything to be a child. You just are one. Salvation is that which God says, "I gave to you." It's not something that you have to do something in order to stay in that position or relationship. That relationship is that which is done through a new birth. And that new birth was done through our faith in Jesus Christ. So, Bill, it's good to know that we have this relationship. How are we doing? Isn't it good to know we have that? So we have the new birth. Secondly, write this one down. It is a gift. It is a gift. This means that salvation is not earned or purchased by something we do. I didn't do anything to get it. It is freely given to us by God. There is no church, baptism, or religious act, or something that we do to give our salvation. This is a gift given to us by God. So the nature of our salvation is a gift. Since I didn't do anything to get it, I can't do anything to keep it. God just simply gave it to me. But it cost Him something. It didn't cost me anything. Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Isn't that good to know? This means we know that we can know we are saved. We don't have to guess at it. We don't have to wonder about it. I remember years ago, I had a lady in our church. Her name was Verlene. Verlene came from a church background where they taught you could lose your salvation. She came from a background where it says that, you know, in order for you to get saved, you had to believe, just like we did. But in order for you to keep yourself saved, if you had to keep believing, if you stopped believing or you stopped doing certain things, and they had like a list of things that you were supposed to be doing, then you could lose it. And they said the only way you'll ever know if you're there is when you die. Well, man, I don't know about you, but I don't want to hope so salvation. 1 John 5:13 tells us, and I love this because this whole book of 1 John tells me that it's not a hope-so salvation at all. It's not, I'm hoping I'm going to get there. The Bible said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you might know that you have eternal life. By the way, don't you want to know-so salvation? Amen. Man, that's what I want. And that's what is critical to understand. So when you get saved and you struggle with these doubts, you just go back and you just remind yourself that number one is you have the promises of God. God gives you his promises. Number two, you go back and recognize that the nature of salvation is no doubt about it. It is wrapped up in this relationship and this gift that God has given to us. But then there's one more thought I want to give you. It's based on the security of the future. You know, none of us know what the future is going to behold, but the Bible tells me what I'm going to have spiritually. All right? So look at it with me. There's some things here that are important. First of all, God promises to complete his work in us until we see Christ. So when we talked about last time in our study, we said the fact that salvation is a work of God that God begins in you. It's something that God's doing in your life. It's that process of God working in your life. Now, you make a decision. You're saved. Obviously, the moment you trust Christ, you're saved. That's salvation. But that work in your life, that work of God now that has begun in your life, we call it sanctification, which is just a big term. It means God's working in my life every day to make me more like Christ. And what is he doing? He says he's doing that until one day I'm going to see him. Philippians 1:6, that verse teaches me that being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? That means God's working in your life. God's doing something in your life every day. He's drawing you to be closer to him until one day when you'll see him. Amen? But then the Bible also gives us another thought. It says we are sealed by the Holy Spirit until we see Christ in glory. Ephesians 1 verse 13 and 14 says, In whom ye also trust, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Now don't get too bogged down in all that heavy terminology. Just keep this in mind. We are sealed by God. And the mark or the seal that God puts on us, if you want to talk about a tattoo, God tattooed you with the Holy Spirit. That's what it means. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit. So nobody can get into us. Nothing can get into us that you know, because we have the protection of God. That's our salvation. It's based on the security of the future. And then God does the keeping himself. For which cause, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, for the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. And am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. That means it is God that does the keeping, not man. It is God that does the keeping, not the church. It's God that does the keeping, not the preacher, not the deacon, not you. It's God that does that. Aren't you glad God does that? That's testament to the future that I'm kept by him. And then there's one more. Our names are written down in the eternal record. Thank God, God wrote my name down. And there shall in no wise enter into anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life, Revelation 21:27. The moment you get saved, Bill, your name's written down. We have a song that we sing in our church, and it talks about that, when our names are written down. It is a great song because it points to the fact of this verse. Your name is written down in the Lamb's book of life. The Lamb is Jesus Christ. So we are now assured, even though our doubts come, even though they're common, and the devil tries to put it there, the devil can't take our salvation away. All he can do is put doubts there to make our salvation, to try to take our joy away. But he can't take our security away. We are secure in Jesus Christ. Isn't that a blessing? Amen. That's what it means. You're here tonight. You're saved. You know Christ. I want to tell you something. This is a great truth that's taught in the Bible. It is a wonderful truth. And there's a lot of confusion about this, but you take all these verses, you study them out. God is very clear in the matter that we are kept and secured by God Himself. Now let's take a few minutes and just take about 3 or 4 minutes here. See if you can answer those questions very quickly. Doing this a little different, I know. And then we'll have prayer and give an invitation. But look, if you would, please, at those 8 questions very quickly, and let's see if we picked up on the basic things that this lesson has for us. And by the way, if I'm discipling someone, I'm going to do that. I'm going to say, here, I want you to answer these questions. What is another phrase for once saved, always saved? Eternal security. Eternal security. So write that down and make sure that's in your notes. You want to have that. All right, number 2. According to Romans 8:38, what are the first 2 listed that shall not separate us from the love of Christ? Death and life. Death or life. There's no way those 2 will separate us. As far as I'm concerned, that pretty much covers the whole gamut, right? Okay. Number 3, according to John 6:37, what will Christ not do to those who come unto him? Cast them out. He's not going to do that. He's going to receive them. So if a person comes this Sunday, you might say, what if the most notorious criminal in the world come to Christ? Well, will he receive him? Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, number 4. In John 10:28, what kind of life does God give us? Eternal life. Eternal life. Number 5. Why can we not trust our feelings as an assurance of our salvation? Because they change. Our feelings change. Sometimes our feelings change about things. Sometimes about people, whatever, but we can't trust our feelings, so. All right. Number 6. What can we trust for assurance of our salvation? God's word. Yeah, God's word, God's promises. We can trust that. That we can trust. So when I start having doubts or I start having things that I'm kind of struggling with in my own life, man, I tell you, I have to go back to the Bible just like anyone. Everybody does. We all have to go back. That just kind of strengthens our faith. That builds our faith. It's the Word of God. All right, number 7. List 2 places doubts may come from. The world. Mind. Yeah, those are a couple places that they may come from. And so that's important to keep in mind. All right, number 8. Whose power keeps us saved, according to 1 Peter 1:5? God's power. Let me ask you, if God's power, isn't God's power more powerful than anything else on the planet? And if God can't keep you, you certainly can't keep you. So we have to realize how powerful God is. Now tonight, I trust that you know Christ as your personal Savior. By that, I want us to realize it doesn't mean that we're just good people. I met a lot of good people in Fairfield. But good people don't go to heaven. Saved people go to heaven. There's a difference. If you've never trusted Christ as Savior, that's the very first thing we all need to do is to receive Jesus Christ and Him alone. And if we're saved tonight, then one of the things we can do is say, God, now that I know I'm saved, thank you that I have the assurance then I'm saved because of what you tell me in your word. And when the doubts come and those things come my way, all I need to do is go back to God, because God will gird up my mind with his word to give me the strength to say, hey, it's the promises of God that says, when I called on him, I became his child, and as his child, nothing shall separate me from the love of Christ. And I'm glad of that tonight. Let's pray.